Hello and welcome to Tony Broom Ministries, the old-time preaching from God's anointed word. When is the last time you heard a message about the blood of Jesus, the cross, and Jesus himself? Here's a message entitled, Focus on Christ.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, the chorus and song says. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We hear a lot of preaching about a lot of things, but this time we want to focus on Christ. That's our subject, focus on Christ. No one would ever backslide or go away from God. No one would ever fall out of fellowship with him or even stay in discouragement or depression who would remain focused on Christ. Isaiah declares to us in chapter 26, verse 3, one of the most famous verses you'll ever hear and know, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And the next verse says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." We can trust in him. We can put our focus on him. So many people are discouraged. So many people are confused. But all you have to do is turn your eyes upon Jesus. Put your focus on him. So what will help us, most of all, to keep our gaze and focus on Christ? What can we do to help us? It's easy to say, trust in the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God. Put your focus and your care on him. But what will help us most of all to put our focus and our care on him? Well, using at least the main occasions in which God speaks directly to or about his son will absolutely help us to maintain Christ as our bullseye focal point at all times. Just look at the times that God spoke to his son directly or he spoke about his son. God shares with his son. Isaiah said the words of the Lord, "My glory will I not give to another." God will not share his glory with another except within the Godhead. He does share his glory with the Son and with the Spirit. God shares with his Son all throughout eternity past. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost were there in perfect union and fellowship together. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession." It's like God is talking to the son. And he says, "Son, what do you want? I'll give it all to you. I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance." Well, how in the world can he inherit the heathen? He is a holy son of God. He's a righteous God. He doesn't want anything to do with a heathen like me. How in the world can he inherit the heathen? It's because of salvation. "I will give you the heathen for your inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for your possession." It all belongs to him. He is the one that shared that glory with the Father. And when Jesus was on earth, he said, "Father, glorify me with your own self, with the glory that you gave me before the world was." So Jesus knew what that glory was all about. And one thing he missed most of all, when he was here on earth, he didn't miss the streets of gold. He didn't miss the walls of jasper. He didn't even miss being with the angels and the other people. What he missed most of all when he was here on this earth was that intimacy. Now, he had intimacy and fellowship with the Father, but he missed that glory. He missed that glory more than anything else. And any time he could get away and fellowship with his Father, he would. He would go, and sometimes he'd stay up all night, and sometimes he would pray, and sometimes he would seek the face of God because he knew that glory. Praise God, he knew that glory. And that glory was what he missed most of all. And you can be by yourself and you can worship, but you've got to have that glory that will come and will abide with you. The glory already resides in us. But when we focus on Jesus, he said, if you have my commandments and keep them, he it is who loves me. And if you love me, I will love him, and my Father will love him. I will manifest myself to him. We will come to him and make our abode with him. It's because when we open our heart and let the sun shine in, the glory will start to fall. The first three verses of John chapter 1 teaches us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He had that eternal fellowship with God. He shared that glory with God. He is called the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. There's no separation between God and his Word. God is the Word. The Word is God. And Jesus is the Word. The Word is Jesus. He is there with the Father, there in creation, there in fellowship. God sent his Son. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, Jesus is being baptized, and he comes up straightway out of the water, and the Holy Ghost comes upon him in the form like a dove, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God speaks there of his Son. So you have the Trinity, you have the Father speaking from heaven, you have the Holy Ghost coming on Jesus, and you have Jesus being baptized, coming up out of the Jordan River, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. God speaks from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." This is the one that God sent into the world. Jesus said, "I did not come of my own accord, but the Father sent me." He sent me. I did not come to do my own will, but the Father sent me. I came to do the Father's will. John teaches us that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's why he came. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God shares with his Son. God sent his Son. And thank God he sent his Son for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God specifies his Son. They were up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw the glory of Christ transfigured there before them. And they saw Moses. They saw Elijah. And the disciples didn't know what to think about it. They were excited. Peter said, "Let us make three little tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, "While he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.'" You notice how God specifies not only, "This is my beloved Son," but "Hear ye him." Listen to him. Stay focused on him. Don't focus on the network news. Don't focus on what the governor said. Don't focus on what the newspaper is talking about. Don't focus on the radio or the television or the internet or the printed page. Don't focus on the latest book or the gadget or things that come out. Stay focused on Christ. Christ is all in all. He is our hope that's built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. We have to stay focused on Christ. He is absolutely the one. And there's a song. Jesus is the one. Yes, he is the only one. Let him have his way until the day is done. Colossians teaches us in chapter 1 that by him, that's Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Jesus is the one. He is the one who made all things. And the verse in John said, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And in Colossians 1, by him all things were created. all things that are in heaven, all things that are in earth, those that you can see, those you cannot see, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. They were created for his purpose. And something that's not made for his purpose don't even need to be. Hebrews chapter 1 teaches that he is the express image of the Father's person. God specifies his son. If you want to come to me, you got to come through my son. If you want to love me, you got to love my son. If you want to have a relationship with me, you got to have a relationship with my son. And he specifies his son. God speaks of his son. John chapter 12, verse 28. Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. God speaks directly in response to his son. Father, glorify your name. And the Father speaks, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. I will keep on glorifying my name. Then God blasts the shofar in Hebrews chapter 1, commanding in verse 6, and let all the angels of God worship him. God the Father commands even all the holy angels of God, high and mighty as they are in power. He commands all the angels of God to worship him. Worship who? Worship Jesus. They are to focus on Christ. And so that means so much more. We are to focus on Christ. He continues, quoting the words of the Old Testament, when he declares in verses 8 through 12, But unto the Son he saith, and this is God the Father talking to the Son and about the Son, Unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God. God the Father calls God the Son God. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, now God is Father, is calling God the Son, Lord. Thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth. You say, I thought God the Father did that. He did. And God the Son did too. Because it's God the Father here, through the prophet in the Old Testament, quoted again in the New Testament in Hebrews, that's telling us that when the foundation of the world was laid, when the heaven and earth was created, God the Son, as well as God the Father and the Spirit, did that. Thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. Like a garment, we would say. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Everything else will decay, will wax old, even the heavens and the earth will roll away like a scroll. But he said, you're the same. You will not change. Your years will not fail. That's why that verse, and we quote it, and I suppose wear it out, but it's so true in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Everything else gets old and fades away. But Jesus is always the same. No wonder Jesus could declare in Matthew 28:18 that all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Colossians teaches that we are complete in him. And chapter 2, verse 9 of Colossians says and proclaims, In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We see it all in Jesus Christ. If you want to take a look at God, take a look at Jesus. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And since he is the one who became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, whom God has highly exalted and given him a name which is above every name, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, a name to which every knee will bow and every tongue confess, the one who is living and was dead. And behold, he is alive forevermore, amen, and has the key of hell and of death. He has the keys of hell. He has the keys of death. We are to focus on him. We can say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. When you focus on him, when you love and serve him, when you worship him, you are focusing on the one who is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, the Almighty God, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise be to his holy name. Let us focus on him who saved us from our sins. Let us focus on him who loved us and forgives us time and time again. Let us focus on him as we worship and serve him. Let us focus on him who intercedes for us at the Father's right hand. Let us focus on him who hears and answers our prayers. Let us focus on him. Let us give our heart and our life to him, the one who loved us so much, Jesus, Savior, Redeemer, Shepherd, King, and Lord. He is the altogether lovely one. He is the altogether mighty one. He is Lord. He is God. He is King. He is Savior. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Father, I thank you for the one whom you sent to be our Savior and our King, our Redeemer. I pray that we would focus on him. Let us focus on him in the church. Let us focus on him in the media. Let us focus on him in our homes. Let us focus on him in America. Let us focus on him in the nations of the world. Let us turn our eyes off of ourselves and off of the things around us, and let us focus on your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a message entitled Focus on Christ. The way that you can do that is making sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.